discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is where tonight, Drew?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. John McCray and Vince DiFiore are both here tonight from Cake. And Drew, I don't know if you remember how much we love the Cake guys.
I know, we haven't seen these guys since the TV show either.
I know, but we're big fans of Cake, and we're glad that they're here in the studio. And they just got doing Coachella. Did I pronounce that right? I always think I'm mispronouncing that.
I think some, like, stuck-up people say Coachella or something, but I think we're fine with that.
Drew, I'm hearing a little feedback on your end.
Oh, really? Right, I don't hear any over here. Right. Feedback of my voice or what, your voice?
No, I was hearing John's voice coming.
Okay, hold on. I'll fix that.
All right there, buddy. How'd it go this weekend?
It was good.
No, that's you, Drew.
Screw you, Adam.
Screw you. We don't care what you did this weekend. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
We need to see Drew's face. You know, it's hard to know who's going to talk. It was good. You know, it's a big old like polo field with really short grass, and it's nice.
Palm trees and short grass instead of dirt.
And I think it helps people behave better when they're not just rolling around like pigs in the dirt.
Yeah.
So I think rock festivals get sort of bad reputations because people just feel like pigs and, you know, want to burn things down because
right.
of it.
Now they start charging $8 for water. The Port of Sands are overflowing at noon. And then people just turn into animals.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very, very civilized rock fest.
Would you play second night or first night?
We just played last night, which was the first night.
Oh, right. It was the second night tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a slushy stand there too.
Oh, yeah.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. And so it went well.
Yeah.
It was
great.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to hear something from Cake's album Comfort Eagle in just a couple of seconds. Drew,
want to take a cake call? Start that one.
Take what kind of call? Yeah. Take a cake call.
There you go.
All right, Bryce.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Hey, Adam.
What's up?
Not much. Hey, my question is for Cake. I just wanted to know about one of your older songs, Sheep Go to Heaven.
Okay, we have a problem. I cannot hear the callers at all.
All right. Well, just quiet down, Drew.
All right.
Go ahead, Bryce.
All right. Anyway.
there we go.
I just wanted to know about the song, Sheep Go to Heaven, Goats Go to Hell. And what's that all about and what your inspiration was for that?
Well, thanks for asking. For one thing, I get kind of irritated when people say sheeps. but aside from that, you know, the song is sort of to me about something, and it doesn't really have to be about the same thing for you, but I'll just be vague about it and say that it's sort of about the way humans tend to think in a binary way.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of right and wrong or light and dark, and it's a sort of a shorthand, but it shouldn't we shouldn't think that it encompasses the entirety of what should be the reality of the real actual situation. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Are goats why are goats bad?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I wrote the song and I was wondering why goats had to be bad.
Yeah, but it struck me as you were beginning that explanation, which is there's certain animals we decide we like, and then there's some we decide are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do that with certain cultures too.
Yeah,
but I mean there's certain insects. You know, we like ladybugs. We can't stand roaches. Although ladybugs probably do more damage than roaches. They look a little cuter.
It's really arbitrary.
It is arbitrary, but I think goats get the shiv in the animal world.
Absolutely,
yeah,
but like a nice pizza with some goat cheese and olive oil, and you know, maybe some portobello mushrooms is a great thing. And yet, we've browbeaten goats for so many centuries.
Goats don't get the credit they deserve. I would I would suggest that maybe after the show we sit around and talk about what we can do to change this.
All right.
Maybe you guys, you can write a song that would sort of inspire this. Maybe
with
I could.
Chubacabra goes to heaven.
Right.
And dogs go to hell.
Goats are okay.
Right. I could cut some PSAs talking about take a second look at goats.
Goats are more rugged individualists.
Actually,
maybe too.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Somebody. There's a guy who's got a little farm up here in the hills, a long time ago I visited the farm and he's got all these goats and he's like, goats are the wave of the future. because you don't have to feed them very much.
Right.
And
yeah, they eat your clothes, that's why.
Well, you don't have to feed them very much for the amount of output, you know, for the milk and whatever else they produce. So it's, maybe...
I met him. He was running for city council, right? Yeah, he was.
All right, so anyway.
Vanessa?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Well, my ex-boyfriend, who I dated about a year ago, I'm having a big problem getting over him, but I have a new boyfriend, and it's, like, totally ruining that relationship.
Why are you having trouble getting over this guy?
I don't know. If I think about it, like, he was not nice to me, and he was, like, a really horrible relationship.
But is that what you need? You need somebody that into true intimacy is too threatening, and this nice guy you're with now, it's sort of boring, and you have to have the excitement of the abuse? but the boring is something people feel just before depression. Mm-hmm. And depression is the response to the vulnerability of being in a real relationship. And the abuse, that guy, the abusive guy is not going to somehow suddenly become not abusive. I mean, part of your obsession is that, well, I change him, or we get back together, give him another chance. No, he's an abusive a-hole, and he will never change.
Well, in about 60 years.
It's not that he was abusive, it's just that he didn't ever pay any attention to me. And like,
Didn't you use the word abusive?
Did I say abusive? I'm sorry. It's just that he didn't pay any attention to me. And like, now my new boyfriend, he's awesome, and he's like so much better. And I'm just like, I'll go to school, and my new boyfriend doesn't go to my school, and my old boyfriend does. And like, I have a hard time like seeing him. And like, I've had things where I've gone home early because like seeing him and his new girlfriend really upsets me.
Who broke up with who?
I broke up with him.
And it's been a whole year.
It's been, a year this month, actually. And I'm still, like, I have, like, all this crap, like, built up behind him, and I don't know why.
Uh-oh. All right.
It's not good.
Yeah, and the new guy's not working because he's too attentive. I mean, he's a nice guy, right?
He's a nice guy, and it's so bad because he's so nice, and I'm just, and I don't even know why this guy, I'm, like, hung up over him at all, and I can't figure it out. And I try.
Well, Adam, why don't you ask the pertinent questions?
What's your sign?
No,
what? Oh, yeah, and he's a Sag. Oh. No, listen, what about your dad? What kind of guy was he?
Oh, this is an interesting story. My dad been in and out of jail. He's right now in an NA program for meth addiction.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he's sort of mistreated you and was unavailable.
Yeah.
And so that becomes your model for what's attractive. And you've got to, you need to go to some Al-Anon and get used to dealing with having an addict father. Because you've been affected by this, and you've done nothing to repair that.
Yeah.
All right, babe.
Okay, you're going to keep obsessing about a-holes if you don't do something to grow through this.
How do you get to Al-Anon?
You use your car.
Just get a phone book, call Alcoholics Anonymous, ask for an Al-Anon referral. They'll even come pick you up.
They will?
Yeah.
Jeez.
You should go.
That's a tough gig driving the Al-Anon van. I go to loser's house. His parents were addicts and pick them up. I don't drive them home, though. I just drop them off. Yeah. Drew, really? Will they come pick you up?
Well, it's not that they have a van. It's like people that are going to Al-Anon will swing by and get you and take you home.
It's not a bad place to get laid.
Oh, God.
No, I mean it. My friends used to tell me about the CA meetings, the Cocaine Anonymous meetings, like on the west side in Hollywood, like West LA CA meetings. Just tons of super hot, needy, skinny 25-year-old chicks who are just looking for a life preserver. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good place to be a sexual predator, for
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well said.
We had to cruise some of those places.
Yeah, Adam, did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Okay.
No, he was agreeing with me.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
That's the way I read it.
Good times.
Yeah, just a manly guy, you know.
Right.
Yeah, a predator, yeah, good.
Patricia?
Manly predator.
Yeah.
Hey, that was a good movie. Patricia, you're 29.
Yes, hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm mainly calling because I heard a caller. She was 19. Boyfriend left her. She's pregnant. you guys said, well, what, adoption, she said no, she'd do anything for a baby, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I gave up a child for adoption 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an open adoption. Me and my boyfriend decided, because I already had one child when we met.
Right.
We decided for financial reasons we couldn't deal with it. So we gave him up for an open adoption. That means I get photographs, I get updates, I get to know how the child's doing.
If the kid invents something, are you in for a taste?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the point is,
like,
though,
you did it
on behalf of the child. It feels good to know that he's getting reared by loving parents.
Right.
And you were not in a position to... Yeah.
Huh?
And you were not in a position to be that.
Yeah. I mean, I even sat down and met them.
Well, how does it work, though? How often do you see your child?
I don't get to see them. They just send photos.
They send photos
twice a year.
And does the child know that you're around, or how does that work?
Well, he's only two, so.
But one day.
Yeah, they will. They're going to tell him that he's adopted. I'm adopted a child myself.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So
well,
you know, and I was just getting my life back together after being an alcoholic. I already had one child. I just couldn't
right.
do another.
Well,
you should be applauded. There should be, like, trophies given out. Really, I mean, there should be some tremendous support for the sacrifice you make on behalf of the child.
Yeah,
I think
it's
wonderful.
I thought it was the best thing. And I just want to say to any girl that's out there pregnant and thinks that she can get the boyfriend back, he might come back, but it's temporarily. It'll never work out, because if he leaves, when he finds out you're pregnant, he doesn't want to be responsible in the first place.
Hmm.
All right, Patricia, thanks.
All right, thank you, guys.
You're a real hero, if you count, you know, use giving away your kids as a criteria for hero. But I think I would like to look into this open adoption when I have kids, too. Sort of like people have horses, don't keep them in their living room, do they? You know what I mean?
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, here's what I'm saying. The horse stays at a stable, right?
Yeah.
They feed it, they groom it, they take care of it, they look after it. Once a week, you swing on by, you ride it around for a little while, and then it goes back to the stable where you know it's safe and it's being nurtured. You know, it's being taken care of. I could sort of think about this with a kid, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a little more open than the pictures twice a year. What?
Promise me something.
What's that?
You will not have children.
Did you say children or horse? You said kids? All right.
Well, that's what child care and boarding schools are for.
Oh, is that what boarding school's
yeah.
for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Dylan?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have some questions for Cake.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering when they would be back in Tucson?
Okay, that's a good question. You know, weren't we just there a little while ago or not?
I'm not sure. I haven't been going to many concerts recently, so...
Yeah, you're too young probably to have gone to too many concerts.
Tucson's where that great hotel is, right?
Yeah, we've stayed there.
Yeah,
Arizona.
There's a venue that's in an old hotel in downtown Tucson.
The Hotel Congress?
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's a historic hotel. But, I'm trying to remember. I don't know. Thanks for the suggestion. Are you going to show up if we do play there?
Most definitely. I went to one of your concerts in Tucson a few years ago.
Okay.
At Rialto, and that was great.
Wow.
Dylan, you were 14. How old were you when you went a few years ago?
I don't know, like 11.
Jeez.
Wow.
My whole family's a big Cake fan, so...
Wow. It's one big Cake fan
that's
family.
Cool.
That's
yeah.
Well,
that's
you know what? We appreciate it, and we try to make music that's scientifically designed for the whole family.
Yeah. And dead people, too. Yeah.
Not binary.
Yeah.
Not binary.
Well, we try to keep lots of different options open, but thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, and I was also wondering, where do you get the names for your CDs? Because, I mean, no offense, they seem kind of random to me, but...
Really?
I'm sure they're not.
I'm sorry you think that.
He's 14, don't give him a break.
They're chosen from a big, long list of other random names.
Yeah.
They're not random, though. They're very serious.
The references to the Aeneid.
That's right.
Random isn't necessarily a put-down, by the way.
Well, you know, random to the conscious mind is
is...
It's like saying you're lucky or something, right?
Well, the subconscious is a lot bigger than the conscious mind, is what I'm saying.
Right.
The subconscious is a big ocean, and the conscious mind is a peanut.
Right. So it would be random to the conscious mind, but to the subconscious mind, almost nothing is random.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So either way, it's your subconscious mind, so you get full credit, right?
Yeah. It's a win-win situation.
That's right. All right. Hey, Drew, why don't we hear something from Kate?
That's what I thought was coming here.
All right. This is off the CD, Comfort Eagle, and this one is Comfort Eagle.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridor and adding more lanes. We are building a religion. A limited edition. We're now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. To resist it is useless. It is useless to resist it. His cigarette is burning, but he never seems to ash. He is grooming his poodle. He is living Comfort Eagle. You can meet at his location, but you'd better come with cash. Now his hat is on backwards. He can show you his tattoos. He is in the music business. He is calling you dude. Now today is tomorrow, and tomorrow today, and yesterday is weaving in and out, out. And the fluffy white lines that the airplane leaves behind are drifting right in front of the waning of the moon. He is handling the money. He's serving the food. He knows about your party. He is calling you dude. Now do you believe in the one big sign? The double wide shine on the blue heels of your prime. Doesn't matter if you're skinny, doesn't matter if you're fat. You can dress up like the Sultan in your onion head hat. We are building a religion, we're making a brand. We're the only ones to turn to when your cash is turned to sand. Take a bite of this apple, Mr. Corporate Events. Take a walk through the jungle of cardboard shanties and tents. Some people drink Pepsi. Some people drink Coke. The wacky morning DJ says democracy's a joke. He says, now do you believe in the one big song? He's now accepting callers who would like to sing along. He says, do you believe in the 1-2 edge? By fastening your safety belt and stepping towards the ledge. He is handling the money. He is serving the food. He is now accepting callers. He is calling me dude. Double wide shine on the boot heels of your prime. There's no need to ask directions if you ever lose your mind. We're behind you, we're behind you. And let us please remind you, we can send a card to find you if you ever lose your way. We are building a religion. We are building it bigger.
Comfort Eagle, off of Comfort Eagle from Cake, who is in the studio with us tonight. John and Vince are both here from the band, and Drew is in North Carolina.
That's right. I'm at 98.7 The Zone.
Yeah.
Greensboro.
Yeah.
Greensboro, Winston, Salem, High Point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Greensboro and Salem, but I've always been a big High Point fan, so I'm glad... Glad they're back on in the mix.
Yeah!
All right, Drew, let's take one more call before we go to break.
Oh, cool. All right, hold on. Hold on. Any, a quick one?
No.
Here you go. No, well,
excruciatingly
you got
long one. Zach?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just want to know which way of taking marijuana was most effective.
as far as potency.
Well, clearly, whatever you've been doing, it's been quite potent enough.
I like the way you said potency.
Potency.
Yeah, dude. That was cool.
Yeah, Zach, well, you found the formula.
Yeah, it clearly, whatever you've been doing, it's been quite effective. But it turns out if you take it orally, you actually get the highest doses going in your system.
Oh, like
and so, well, I don't know about tea. It's interesting because I don't know how... I guess you could do it with tea. I don't know how much you drink or take of it. Brownies are most people what they do for oral. Oral's very difficult to control because it takes 30 minutes or so for it to get in your system.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've already eaten God knows how much. And that's how people get these sometimes very intense hallucinogenic experience and panic attacks and blackout and have even heard of seizures.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of the rectal route as far as marijuana went.
Yeah. Well, everything for you, Adam, goes up the keister, doesn't it?
Eventually,
be
yeah.
fair, yeah.
The Aztecs did that, Adam. You know that?
Did they?
Yeah, in ritual religious ceremonies
with weed or with peyote or what were they using?
Yeah, probably peyote and also grain beverage is like something similar to beer.
Dumping it up the ass.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, there's like, you know, sort of hieroglyphic-looking carvings on the sides of their temples of people with...
I never got that wheel on my Viewmaster, but yeah. maybe there's like an adult section that my folks would let me go into. Slightly race your Viewmaster wheels.
Well, I got a question, though. I mean, what about marijuana being the stimulating female hormones in men? Is that true,
yes.
Drew?
Oh, absolutely, that's true.
So we should tell about the potency.
Potency? That's the only way I can get their attention is tell them their penis won't get hard.
Yeah.
And
boobs.
They'll get boobs, that's right. Particularly in the 13 to 15-year-old age group when the adrenal glands are putting out estrogen-like hormones, and the marijuana further suppresses testosterone and increases those estrogen-like effects.
So while your body and your brain are still developing, better to lay off. Wait till you're 18 when your brain, at least until your brain is finished developing.
Well, there actually is evidence that it can delay the development or the growth of the right frontal lobe of your brain, and that's the part of your brain you're using to negotiate development. That's where all that subconscious stuff you're talking about, that's where all that happens. That intersubjective subconscious experience of our interpersonal lives is the right frontal lobe.
It's your friggin' soul in there.
Yeah, that's true. Hey,
so
Zach?
It's bad news.
Yeah, right. Zach, why don't you ease up on the weed for a few years? That's what we're saying, all right? All right, well,
no,
you don't have to do that.
For the potency.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little hard.
All right, well, listen, Zach, you kind of have to, because it really makes you no moron.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Well, Zach is like, the eventually is upon him, I think.
Right, and Zach, you don't work at a Der Wiener Schnitzel your whole life, do you?
No, I don't even like getting drunk. I just like getting stoned all the time.
New.
Yeah. All right. We understand the part where you like pot, Zach. We're asking you if you could curtail it a little bit and not smoke as much. All right.
There's an old Brazilian saying that goes: hardworking parents, bourgeois children, degenerate grandchildren.
Ooh!
Wow.
It's a nice one. It's beautiful. Very beautiful.
I guess. I'm guessing Zach is the grandchild. All right. Cake is in the studio tonight. John and Vince are both here from the band. We will take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And I couldn't be happier.
Fantastic. 100.5.
The Zone. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there in Salem, Greensboro, Winston,
Raleigh, Durham,
High
all that
Point.
Good stuff. Yeah.
The research triangle.
Yeah.
Got a 100,000-watt flamethrower here, Adam.
Yeah.
We're all playing right there, by the way, next month.
Cool.
Yeah, you should come, you should stay there and go to our show.
Yeah, they're going to, what, 22nd?
I think the 22nd.
In May?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know the venue, but
in Greensboro?
No, it's the other one, Winston-Salem or...
Yeah. Or maybe it's Raleigh-Durham?
Yeah, oh, man. I need it in front of me on a piece of paper, but it's not, so... But
May 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew, you just... What do you got to kill, like a month?
Here?
Yeah, you could hang there.
Yeah, sure. It's cool here.
Yeah, you're not so big that you got to skate out on the first class 777 leaving the place.
We'll hang out. Well, after the show.
Yeah, I'll wait for that.
Okay. North Carolina's first in flight.
All right, we will get back to
the phone. By the way, I came in through some thunderstorms today. It was one of those Roberto Clemente experiences and praying to God and all that. Oh, my God.
Were you on a puddle jumper?
They don't really have those so much anymore. It was a regional jet, but regional jets fly into stuff they shouldn't fly into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other little puddle jumpers wouldn't go to this stuff, and they were being just hammered by thunderstorms.
Well, you're safe, and that's what's important, Drew.
Thank you, Adam.
Now be quiet. Cake is our guest tonight. Joan is on line four here. She's 17. Joan?
Hey. What's up?
What's happening?
Basically, I have two parents, obviously, and they used to both use Vicodin and OxyContin.
Right.
And my dad was seeing a psychiatrist who decided that they were taking enough to kill them every day.
Right.
And so I thought they both should go to rehab, but my dad was the only one who ended up going.
Okay.
And he's come out. I mean, we spent like $30,000 on rehab. And he comes back and he's, you know, still using.
Oh.
And he forces my mom to use it because he believes that he likes her better.
Oh, boy.
When she's on it. And...
Hold on. Are you sure he forces your mom to do it?
He doesn't physically force her, but he tells her he likes her better when she's on it.
It's not an uncommon codependent enabling posture to encourage another person to use drugs because they're easier to deal with or they're happier. They'll sort of use a lot of nonsense like that as a reason for urging people into their disease.
Yeah, and my dad's really smart, and so he's like, he can be really sneaky about it.
And Joan, this is awful. You understand? This is the same thing as heroin addiction, OxyContin, Vicodin. These are powerful, powerful opiates.
Yeah.
And both of them have got to go to treatment, and you too need to participate in that. You need to go to somatolene or Al-Anon.
I know I have depression, but I don't know what.
Well, of course. You're living.
I'm not really that close with my parents, and I don't know what to do, how to get help my parents. I don't know. My dad won't stop.
Tell them that life is pain. You know, and you can't have growth without pain. So they're just frozen in probably an adolescent emotional state, wouldn't you say, Drew?
Well, that is in fact one of the phenomena that goes on so frequently in drug addictions. You start using early on in your life, and you don't actually develop. The brain doesn't grow through those periods when you normally would be learning new coping strategies. Instead, you're just relying on drugs to manage your affect. But the other thing about opiates is just the biology of the grip it has the brain in is so incredibly powerful. It's why people die of this disease routinely. It's more powerful than the survival drive itself. And the brain actually confuses survival and the drive to use the drug. So all you can do, Joan, is really take care of yourself and to keep creating consequences for their use. And I know that's kind of a vague thing to say, but wherever you can to sort of push up against what they're doing and create a consequence. But in the meantime, go to Alateen, Al-Anon, just go or get a therapist for yourself. You have to take care of yourself.
Your parents have money?
Yeah.
Then get a therapist.
Will they get you a therapist?
I don't think so. They don't think it's my problem. They think I'm supposed to, you know.
All right. But Joan, here's what you got to do. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Younger brother.
That sucks. Here's what you need to do. Are you a decent student?
Yeah.
You're going to go to college one day?
Yes.
Not junior college, which is confusing because there's the word college in it when it's really not?
No.
You need to get your grades up, participate at school, get involved with your friends and whatever kind of activities are going on outside of the house, and just go far away to some college one day. It's going to be real hard for you to cure your parents.
Yeah, they want me to live at home for college.
No, don't do that.
No.
You're part of the mix they need in order to maintain their disease. They know that it's going to torch out pretty quick by themselves.
Yeah. Is it a good idea for my dad to move out? Because that's what my mom's trying to make him do.
Doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, I can't tell you specifically what's good and not good, except for you need to take care of yourself. That's essential. Beyond how they manage their disease, it's hard to say.
Couldn't they just tent the house like it was going to be fumigated and drop some therapists in through the chimney?
Aerosolized therapist.
Yeah, like therapist canisters that the SWAT team could fire through the window.
If we lived under a benevolent dictator, that
like
could
myself?
Happen. Yeah, that could happen.
Oh, it's gonna. let me tell you, I am benevolent, but off comes the velvet glove to expose the iron fist of the troublemakers, like the folks that call 911 more than three times a year. Yeah. I got a lot of plans, gentlemen. You can be with me, or you can be against me, but I'm going to need to know before the night is over. Kayla?
Hi.
You're 17. What's up?
Okay, I have
I want to gamble.
What?
You want to gamble on Kayla voice. Just up based on her voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see what her problem is. You've had sex with 24 guys.
Yeah.
And you want to know if you're addicted to sex.
Yeah, it's like I can't say no. For some reason, it's like every guy I come across, they're like, do you want to do something? And I'm like, okay. And I'll do it.
Okay, hold on. Drew, you serious about your gambling?
Sure.
Okay, you got your dollar out over there in North Carolina?
Yeah, it's sitting right here on the table.
Seriously, get it out.
Seriously.
Seriously, dude. Hey, bro.
I'm serious, man.
Hey, bro. Seriously, now. I don't use the word bro too often, but when I do, it's so people know I'm serious.
I noticed you did the A sound, brah. You did the
bro.
At the end, brah.
Yeah. That's my favorite. I like when the dudes pull the other dude out of the trouble and they give him the serious bro. Bro, this dude plays lacrosse. He will kick your ass, bro. You're effed up, bro. Now back off. All right, bros, get the money out.
I don't think I have any ones. Let me see.
No ones?
I don't have any ones. Can I borrow a dollar from you, please?
Adam, front the guys, will you? Be kind.
Whoa,
Vince has got a dollar.
Vince
got
to have a couple of bucks. Okay. Well, he's got to represent the band with two.
Vince Adam needs a buck, too.
The rest of the guys.
That's good. Well, you guys will catch up to each other on the road. We may not see you for another 3 years.
I thought that you acted like you liked me, but... It was just show business.
Well, if Vince didn't come up with it, I would have, you know, we would have worked something out.
All right. Whatever.
Bra. All right, Drew, you go first. Now, what we're gambling on is Kayla's past. She's 17. Yeah. She's had sex with 24 guys. Drew heard her voice and doesn't trust it. Who's kicking a bag down there?
Sorry, my fault.
Jesus Christ.
I'll relax. I'm getting something happened between like around 8 to 10, and I'm not thinking it's sexual abuse so much as she can't assert herself. She's a victim. She dissociates. It's like some physical abuse in that age group. Alcoholic dad, physical abuse.
Alcohol, okay. So
8 to 10.
Physical abuse, alky dad.
Age 8 to 10.
8 to 10. Because you didn't get that toddler voice.
Right.
Like, we get that voice that's like 4 years old sometimes. Yeah. And that wasn't the 4 year old voice there. Right. Alcoholic dad. All right, Vince, you want to venture?
Sure, yeah. Very cool, the cool girl on the block, and had sex at an early age with some neighborhood kids, and she wants to keep on having experiences like that so she can feel like she's on top of the situation.
So you say...
How old?
Yeah, how old was she when she had sex too early?
13.
Yeah. Is that acceptable, Drew?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're saying no wholesale abuse, just one of the neighbors got hold of her when she was a little bit too young.
Yeah, just good time gal.
Okay. I think too young. John?
I think this is cruel. this is really wrong.
No, we're doing it to illustrate a point.
Okay. The
point is what you get from these people when you say, when you get to the point where they tell you what happened and they go, but that has nothing to do with it. Yeah. Our point is it has so much to do with it. It's left such an imprint on you. We can predict what it is just in the first few seconds of talking to you.
What we're doing is we're getting pissed at these parents or whoever made that
That's
mistake.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I guess I can do that. I would say that I think I agree. I think it's probably... sometime early, I don't know. I would say maybe earlier than that, than what you ventured. I would say like Good. 5 or something.
Good.
Right. And what, sexual abuse?
Yeah, I would say sexual abuse and alcoholic father.
All right. All right. I'm going to go sexual abuse, stepdad, real dad out of the picture.
Can I change to stepdad?
Stepdad is always, the smart money's always on the stepdad. All right, let's talk to Kayla. Kayla?
Yeah?
All right, what's the past like?
Okay, my parents are still married. Okay, I still live with both of them.
Stepdad still got you, though, right?
I don't have a stepdad.
Well, all right, technicality.
Okay, I started having sex when I turned 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see here. It wasn't with the neighborhood guys at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Father unavailable, aloof?
We don't get along.
Yeah.
At all.
Is he a drinker?
Just, he's just physically and emotionally abusive.
Ooh. Okay, that was my bet.
Yeah.
That's my bourbon.
What, how old were you when you first started really getting into that?
Probably about 11.
Okay, that's what I heard.
You said 8 to 10, that's right. Yeah, that's solid. 11, 11.
What she's doing is a real characteristic thing of kids that have been sexually, physically abused, is that sex becomes a way of managing affect. And she has a post-traumatic stress disturbance whereby her expectation of the interaction with everybody is going to be that of dissociation, where she sort of seeks to exist. So when people come to exploit her, she just dissociates. She's not there, and she says, okay,
I'm not even sexually attracted to guys.
That's the point. You're under the sway of their impulse. Whatever they want you to do, you're just doing it. Just because you're used to having been victimized. You were used to dissociating when your dad went nuts on you. You got used to expecting that from any interaction, particularly with men. And now that's just who you are. You're this victim. And you got to do something about that, Kayla. You really need to.
Well, see, it's like usually like when I party and stuff like that, I'll get like really messed up because I do a lot of stuff. It's like, you know.
Well, that makes it entirely different then.
Oh, we didn't know it's because you're drinking hard lemonade.
I'll do like harsh drugs, you know, and like groups of guys will be like, well, let's go in the bedroom and mess around. And I'll go in there and I'll like...
We're asking you not to do it.
It's not that easy. It's like I can't say no.
Yeah, but
I'm saying that in order, this is what we were talking about earlier in terms of the complexity of the right frontal lobe of the brain. You actually have to grow that piece of the brain in order to get out of this cycle of reenacting these traumatic experiences every time you have an interpersonal experience with a male. There's a piece of your brain that hasn't grown yet because of being arrested by the victimizing behavior of your dad. This really requires treatment. It requires it.
So she's got to get some therapy or something.
Or at least stop using whatever the harsh drugs are so that your brain can grow. Grow the frontal lobe, please.
Right. All right. Drew, you won the bet, I believe.
But you can't get the money, though, because it's here.
Rough.
And I expect it to be there tomorrow night when I arrive.
Well, we'll see. Jessica?
Yeah, hey.
25?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. Anal sex question?
Yeah,
Fantastic.
Last night we were having...
We're going to put a break, though, don't we?
Oh, shut up. Let her ask a question.
Who's there?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, last night we were having anal sex, and... I mean, there was, like, no pain whatsoever, but he pulled out for a second, all of a sudden there was just blood.
Right.
A lot of blood, and it bled for a while, but I didn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was for me and if I have, like, something wrong inside.
He broke her hemorrhoid. Where'd this guy do a finishing school? Sir Walter Raleigh behind her. I broke her hemorrhoid.
Maybe you're eating beets.
No, it was...
No, this is blood. This would not be a surprising...
There was no...
Drew, where did she go to finishing? Did she answer that? All right, hang on a second there, Jessica.
I just don't understand anal sex.
Why not?
Because there's sitting on a toilet, you know, which serves the same purpose, you know. Like, why not just sit on the toilet and read the news at the same time? You know, why spend the time having sex...
Right.
Doing the same thing that you feel when you're on the toilet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, as if you don't get that experience enough, you know, just every day.
It'd be nice if you could train yourself so that you could suck a little Duke back in there, like when people hang a loogie and then suck it back up in their mouth.
That'd be nice.
Hey, you do it. It ends up being like when a kid eats a popsicle, you know? You know, once in a while they'll do that thing. I'm not talking about 100. I mean, like, 75.
There's a lot of things in this world.
I hope that your dad is not listening to the show.
Oh, he doesn't even know when the show's on.
Okay, I'm going to call him.
Hey, Dad, you're big puss. I'm going to kick your pussy ass next time I see you. All right, old man? I guarantee you. Not only did he not hear that, but no one will tell him about it either. We'll take a little break. Cake is here. We'll get back with Jessica and find out what's wrong with her rectum after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. You're listening to 100.5
The Zone. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Drew in North Carolina tonight. Cake is our guest. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I got some dates for Cake. The 18th, they're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, and in Richmond, Virginia on the 19th. The 20th, they're going to be at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, then Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and then in Nashville, Tennessee on the 23rd of May. So all you Cake fans, there you go. Those are some very new and recent dates where you can find them. Jessica?
Yeah.
So you're 25.
Yeah.
And you're having a little anal sex last night.
Yeah.
And there was some blood.
Yeah. He also has an ampling in his penis.
Uh-oh.
You didn't tell us that.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you say that in the beginning?
Now, how's the ampling go?
It's straight through the head.
Really?
Yeah.
Across like a barbell across.
Yeah.
Across,
rock and roll.
Left to right, not up and down, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
That might have something to do with that. I don't know.
Hey, let me tell you, I don't know if you've married this guy or not, but this is a keeper, Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You hang on to this fella with both hands. You never let him go.
Well, he wanted to talk to you, actually. I talked to you before.
Right.
But he works at a video store that has lots of Minka videos.
Hold on a second. I am shocked that he works at a video store. Drew,
oh,
you must
God.
Be flabbergasted as well.
Who is number one?
They have a lot of Minka videos, though?
Yeah.
She's the number one Asian big boob queen.
That's
I'm
right.
A big fan of hers.
Number one?
Yeah. I got a handful of them myself, though, so I'm pretty good.
Oh, you should still head down there, though. Okay, so he has the ampling through it.
Right.
I don't know if he maybe...
Yeah, does he
through it or
he's not able now? Can't you feel that thing going in you? I mean, isn't that a kind of disaster, that ampling thing?
Ouch!
No, not at all.
Why not at all? Seemed like there would be a factor.
It's quite pleasurable, actually.
But it has to at least be a factor. I mean, you must feel it, right?
Oh yeah, you can feel it.
Right, and it's equivalent of basically taking two round things about the size of a pea made out of like stainless steel and sticking them on each end or each side of the head of your penis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good times.
All right. So no condom, right?
No.
Okay. Well that actually could have done it.
I'm surprised that there aren't more episodes like this. Yes, your boyfriend's right. He can actually cause a hemorrhoid to rupture. He can tear, cause a fissure. He can cause colitis. Maybe you have inflammatory bowel disease, and this is the first manifestation. There's all kinds of things that can sort of come out this way, as it were. And you need to see a gastroenterologist, or at least an internist, to get this evaluated more thoroughly. There can be polyps. There can be tumors. There's all kinds of things that can cause bleeding. And there's also all sorts of injuries that can occur to that area. You can start getting stenosis of the anal canal, which is a real awful thing.
Now, I haven't bled at all today. It was just
yes,
last
but
night.
Having bled is all you need to... That require one drop of blood requires a visit to the doctor, period.
Well, what about...
Not because you're not continuing to bleed out, but one drop is enough to say you've got to go.
Well, but Drew, if somebody took... basically a mop handle and taped some BBs to the end of it and violated you. Wouldn't you expect a little blood? I mean, you wouldn't say, oh, that's cancer.
No. That's right. But it's also can stimulate other problems, is what I'm saying. You can't say for sure it's just a hemorrhoid. Maybe it's a tear. Maybe it's a fissure. Maybe it's all kinds of stuff can occur.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go to the next call, please?
Well, can I ask you something else really fast, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
I know maybe. Somebody that eats poop.
Eats poop.
Next caller!
Yeah, please.
Right?
Does he work in a video store, too?
Yes.
No, actually, he comes in a lot, and that's where they do this at.
Well, we had a dog that ate poop.
And he actually eats quite a bit of crap.
How much?
Somebody... Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, somebody will, like, poop on a plate, and he'll take it with spoon and just start shoving it in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And really?
Different people.
Next caller!
There's a name for that. It's called coprophagia.
Right.
Wow, with chocolate sauce.
What does he get out of it, other than the reputation?
Up. Well, hepatitis.
And hepatitis.
He's doing it. He's, mental in the head, but for our pure factor of fun, I mean, he just sits there and eats it. But
well, hold on a second. Drew, you've heard me say this many times on the show. It takes all kinds. It really does. So who are we to judge?
Drew, which would you rather do? If you have to choose one of these two options, or you get killed immediately. You either have to have your left hand pinky finger painlessly removed, or eat a randomly chosen from the population turd, at least half a cup worth of turd? human fecal matter.
Right. They can just have my little finger. Be done with it.
All right.
Yeah.
But all right.
Could you make a meatloaf?
Yeah, you can get sick from eating poo, right, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
The oral fecal route. That's why you wash your hands every time you go to the bathroom. The oral fecal route of disease transmission worldwide is probably the most significant source of disease transmission.
Next time you go to a restaurant, keep that in mind.
Right, right.
You don't know what the hell's
going on. Like things other than hepatitis and things like that. Just like something in a normal poop with someone who doesn't have hepatitis C, you can get something from it?
Drew?
Say that again, I missed
it. Can you get a disease if someone doesn't have a disease? Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
I mean, but you could get sick, couldn't you? I mean, I don't have anything. Could you eat my poo?
I would vomit.
Right.
I don't know that I'd get a disease per
se. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, then, so smoothies so bad. For everyone.
Good times. It takes all kinds.
Coprophagia.
All right. Nice word, though.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. John and Vince are both here from Cake. When we come back, we'll speak to Joshua, 17. He wants to know if there's anything dangerous about dextromethorphan. And we'll tell them all about that after this.
All right, guys. Bottom line, here's the deal. Looking to hook up?
Sick of wasting time with the wrong person? One call's all you need to make. Call the Dateline. The Dateline.
877-889-DATE.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew in North Carolina.
Yeah.
John and Vince are both here from Cake. Good to see those guys again. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
Yep.
Vince had a question during the commercial, which he was curious about. He could ask.
Yeah, just wondering how many calories are left in a piece of poo. You know, compared to like if there's 500 calories going in, how many come out?
I don't know the answer to that. It's mostly bulk and fat, so hard to say.
Okay, maybe half?
Less than that,
I would think.
And what about people, Drew, that have faster metabolisms? Let's say the people who eat whatever they want never gain an ounce.
That has more to do with how they use it, not how they absorb it.
Right, but would it be safe to say in those people there would be more calories passed through them, or it would be the same as a person who was overweight and didn't eat that many calories?
I would say it would be the same, because, again, it's not the issue of absorption. It's the issue of what happens to it after it's been absorbed.
Right. Well, let's look into that, shall we?
Absorption happens first, yeah.
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 So, yeah, that's gross. So, anyway, let's go away from fecal matter.
Let's go away. Just for one call, though.
All
right. Joshua?
Yeah.
All right. So you want to know about dextromethorphan?
Yeah.
What about it?
I got into it like quite a while back. I tried it, and I kept telling myself I'm not addicted. And I'm a guy that knows when I'm addicted to something.
Right. Well, you're addicted to pot, right?
Huh?
You're addicted to pot, though.
I've started smoking pot like a month ago, so I don't know if I'm addicted. I'd say so.
Okay. It's hard to say what will happen with dextromethorphan. I've never seen addiction. I doubt there is addiction, though I've been surprised by other things. Like, I didn't think there'd be addiction to GHB, but I've definitely seen that. And it is hallucinogenic, and so as such, it shares many of the properties we would expect of other hallucinogenics in that it probably is a neurotoxin. And we'll probably see disruption of mood, panic attacks, memory problems, the kinds of things we see from other hallucinogens.
All right, there, buddy. Good times.
All right.
And, you know...
Brain damage, I'm talking about.
Joshua, at 17, you saying you're a pretty good judge of what you're addicted to is probably false, because you really don't know that at 17. You may not know that at 27.
But you know what? No, you know what? That's not necessarily true, Adam. A lot of people who are addicts, who are honest with themselves, can say that you know, I've got momentum with this, I'm addicted, and so what? I'm going with it.
Well, I know a lot of people can say that at 17. Yeah, but also for most people who end up getting strung out on whatever, wouldn't say they were at 17. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay. All right, Joshua. So why don't you give your brain a little rest?
I had another question.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way I can get rid of the side effects that I'm starting to notice now?
Which are?
Sometimes, like, it didn't start until I really got into this. I wake up and I can't move.
Okay.
Like, my whole body's numb.
Okay, well, those are basically a type of night terror. And that can be a seizure disorder. So I would suggest you see a doctor about this.
All right.
May be the beginning of something. You may flop down and have a seizure while you're trying to drive or doing something where you could hurt yourself.
Okay.
Also, your sleep could be disrupted more globally. They may want to do a sleep study on you. Maybe you're getting depressed or that sort of thing from the disruption of the chemistry in your brain, and this night terror is just part of that sleep chemistry disruption you're getting.
All right.
All right. So what should you do? Just see a doctor?
He's got to see someone talk about it. Yep.
All right. You got the next call figured out?
Bad news.
Jonathan?
Yo.
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, my question's for Cake.
Here they are.
And Adam, I know your answers to veal, venison, and the vining rod.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, here, hold on a second. We were, Drew, are you monkeying around with something there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, easy, buddy. I'm hearing something going on. We just for fun, I don't know how I stumbled onto it. Oh, I do. I was talking to a stripper in Vegas about 4 or 5 days ago, and she was telling me how she doesn't eat veal because she can't stand the thought of those little lambs being kept in those cages. And I thought, that's one day I'm going to do a book on what strippers have told me. And by the way, what they would do if they caught up to bin Laden and whether he's dead or not. It's politics is great. But the point is I posed that question to some of our listeners, and a lot of them didn't know what it was either, the veal question. And then I spread that out to venison and divining rods. But the point is you looking it up on the internet and then calling us 3 days later and telling us you know what it is not the game. That's not how it works, right?
Right.
All right. Go ahead and ask your question to Cake, Jonathan.
I wanted to know what's their influences and which bands they like growing up.
I don't think there's an easy answer to that, so I'll save you the time to say that. I guess we don't really like bands so much as we like songs by bands, and usually there's, you know, each band there's maybe 3 or 4 songs that we just really love and, you know, appreciate and learn from. And you know, they're probably a lot of the same bands of, you know, that you like. That's not a very good answer, but there's just a lot of different kinds of music that we listen to.
But nobody growing up, I mean, I know what you're saying. I'm kind of that way, too. It's like you like 3 songs from a lot of different bands. But then there are guys like, you know, Elvis Costello, where I like, I would say, a body of their work. Like, mm-hmm. I would probably say that I enjoy a lot of his a lot of Elvis Costello, for instance, or John Hyde, or someone like that.
There's people that where the number is creeps up above 3, definitely.
Right. Well, who would those be?
I like Led Zeppelin, and I like you know, Elvis Costello and James Brown and Benny Goodman, if you want to go way back, was just a badass, provided some of the sort of the rock equivalent to the music of his day.
Right.
Amazing arrangements. Hank Williams Sr. has been a big influence for me, as a songwriter, writing really simply. And saying what he's going to say, and then getting the hell out.
Right.
So.
And Vince, who do you got? Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, I did
Herb
like
Alpert,
that.
Guys like that?
Sure.
Doc Severinsen.
I was a very influential age when the Feel So Good thing was on the radio.
Yeah.
I was in seventh grade. You know,
did you pick up the trumpet because of that?
No, I was already playing it. And I thought, well, that's cool. Someone's got a trumpet hit on the radio. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, I gravitated towards it. You know, he's Italian, too. So, he's right into that.
And I think he played the flugelhorn.
Yeah.
So I don't want to burst your bubble. But I remember the picture of him on the front of the cover there. Right. He didn't have a trumpet, he had a flugelhorn.
No, he had a flugelhorn.
Vince can play flugel.
Yeah, they're both
same
in B
thing.
Flat. Same
yeah,
thing.
Same
yeah,
thing.
It's just different tone. But
no, I wasn't an attack, buddy. I'm just saying.
No, that's okay. I'm
he's
okay.
He's Italian.
With that.
He gets really defensive.
You know, I have my countrymen have a long history of being attacked by Greeks and
right.
You know what, Moors and yeah. You know, just the whole gamut.
Okay, so you'd say Chuck Mangione.
So Chuck Mangione.
Pretty
my final answer.
That's what it spoils down.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me do something. Let me have some fun here. Jonathan.
Yo.
Chuck Mangione. You're 15. No. Benny Goodman. Huh?
Nope.
No.
Hank
okay.
Williams Sr.?
Nope. Huh? Oh.
All right.
Go dig around.
Lisa?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
I have a boyfriend, and we've been dating for about 6 months now, and he's become really, really, really possessive. He wants to see me every single day, and if he can't see me every day, he gets really angry. Not to the point of abusive angry, just like really irritated angry and gets really quiet and won't talk to me.
Pouty.
Pouty, huh? How old is he?
He's 20.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. It's a little old for that kind of behavior, isn't it?
I could do pouty at 20.
Yeah, you did it all the way to 22, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. No, I could do it for a long. I could still probably pull it off if I had to. So, Lisa, do you want to break up with him?
I don't want to break up with him. Whenever we're together, I enjoy the time we spend together. I just wish that he would, like, realize that I have a life, too. I mean, I can't even do my laundry without him being
there. It's sort of one of these situations where she needs to save him from himself.
Right. Do
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because this is what guys do. It's like their biggest fear is the relationship ending, yet they're going to see to it that the relationship ends sooner than it would have if they just sat the F still and not come at you pawing and moaning.
It sounds like an unequal distribution of enthusiasm for the relationship.
That's right. I had that myself, yeah.
It's rough.
Right.
It's always me going over to his house, making effort to see him, and he doesn't make hardly any effort to see me.
Well, now wait a second.
That's a twist.
That's different. So he complains when he doesn't see you every day, but yet it's always you who are going over to his house.
He's like, come over. You know, he's that type.
Does he? You know, do you live at home?
No, I don't live at my parents' house. I just moved out like the 1st of April.
Right, and
I'm confused.
Yeah, I am too.
Why does he want you to come to his place?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he come to yours?
Well, I have a roommate, and yeah.
Yeah, so. What's he do for a living?
He works at a department store as a returns clerk.
Oh, that's going to be the world's worst job.
That's the problem right there.
Yeah. Customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and you're doing what? You going to school? You working?
I'm going to school and working. I'm working full time.
The only way I can kind of put this together is, does he want to have sex every time you come over?
No. Hmm. We've agreed that we don't want to do that till we're married.
Wow.
Being one of the smart couples.
Well, but he's still pouty, huh?
He must be. Yes. They're fooling around, you know.
What are you doing?
Not much.
Really? Just second base type activity?
Kissing, touching.
Wow. Hmm. And this has been going on for how long?
That's been going on for like 2 months, but we've been seeing each other about 6.
How old is he again?
He's 20.
20.
Hmm.
Is there a favorite television show involved?
No.
All right.
We work on cars together and stuff like that.
Oh, you work on cars?
Yes, cool. I work on cars with him.
Wow. That's an exciting life you guys have forged for yourself. No sex, but... you get to help him lean out a carb. That's great. Hey, Lisa?
Yeah?
I don't know. This doesn't sound like a real problem. I would just say stand your ground, and if you don't want to go over there and you want him to come over and you went over the last 5 times, then tell him to come over to your house. And if he says no, then you're not going to his house.
Right.
Okay.
Save him from himself.
Right.
What about, like...
Nah, that's enough.
Yeah.
They're not even having sex, for Christ's sake. They're working on cars together.
That's a car, working on cars is a good way to sublimate your sexuality.
That's right. Mm.
Here, here.
Alejandra?
Hi, it's nice to meet you. I love you guys. I don't have any of your CDs yet, though. But I've been listening to you since I was, like 4 years. I know it's, like, 4 years ago. I heard you on K-Rock at night. But anyway, I was just
that was the last time they played us, I think, actually.
Okay.
And what happened? And I'm so okay. Well, I'm reading this book. I've been reading it. Well, I finished it already. But it's called Brave New World, and it was just about music. And I think that you guys are so great because you're political and you're getting that through, you know, and to people. Because usually, not that love is bad, but it's usually always about love. But I was just wondering if you're going to make a remake of in the future. Are you going to make more remakes of the old songs, like Don Kashane maybe?
Like what song?
Don Kashane.
No, I'm just kidding about that one.
I can't believe that you know that song.
Oh, Don Kashane?
Yeah.
My German teacher says that they say it wrong. But no, that song isn't really that. I like it, but it's like...
Who sings? Does Doris Day sing Don Kashane?
No. The Andrew Sisters.
The Andrew Sisters.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It's wrong.
No.
Well, it's the man.
It's old. Wayne Newton sings.
Wayne Newton. There we go. Yeah.
How the hell do you know that?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
You're busted.
I'll tell you the thing. Hold on. Quiet down there, Alejandro.
There's that weird Tourette's brain you've got.
Well, I'll tell you why. The thing that's sad about that, I'm pretty sure it's Wayne Newton singing Don Kashane. It sounds like a chick is singing it.
It does. It's scary.
And the reason it's stuck in my mind is it's very surprising when you find out a guy is singing it, because it really sounds like Dinah Shore singing it. And it turns out it's a dude with a mustache, albeit a penciled-in one.
Well, I don't think he had one back then. Just a real choir boy voice.
But still, it freaks you out were you like 7 years old when you saw his picture after hearing the voice?
Yeah.
And it just totally floored you. Same thing happened to me. Same thing happened to me when I saw Mick Jagger sing on television, and I thought, you know, it sounded like this guy has a big beard.
Right.
And he didn't have a beard.
I was traumatized by that non-bearded thing. Dude, conversely, I'd heard some radio interviews with Dan Haggerty long before I'd seen him in the Grizzly Adams series, and when he did have the beard, I was floored.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how it could work both ways. All right, what did Alejandra want?
She wants us to do, or she's asking if we want to
cover some songs?
Do some old cover songs, which we've done in the past sparingly, just to sort of, just because we felt like it and because we weren't supposed to do it.
Right.
But then it started being like, Cake is supposed to do this, so we stopped doing it. And just so we'll do it, but probably when no one is expecting it.
I would like to... suggest Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Okay.
It's a musical song. There's a little yodeling. Uh-huh. I think something would be good with the trumpet and you and
the
fans. And I'm going to talk to you guys during the break about that, though.
That sounds good.
And we could probably clear it, no problem. Brian?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'd like to know the adverse effects of hot sauce on the human body.
I'm not aware of any. It's hurtful.
You're fine.
Reflux. Yeah, I'm not aware of any.
You all right there, Brian?
If you have a whole bunch, don't you have a hard time containing? If you have too much of anything, I suppose it's bad. Too much hot sauce.
I mean, you're going to get diarrhea, I would think, and that kind of thing.
But yeah, like bladder infections or yeast infections for the...
No. I don't know of any specific adverse effect of the hot sauce.
What are you
sauce
doing with all this hot sauce?
Yeah, it depends. Putting it in your eyes?
No, on the food, but...
I see.
A lot of it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of guys just like that. It's fine. If you don't have any problems with it, it's fine.
Well, I'm noticing some side effects.
What?
You get diarrhea.
That's what I said.
Hemorrhoids.
Don't get hemorrhoids.
You get hemorrhoids from diarrhea. That's what causes hemorrhoids, and it's going to burn like hell coming out the way it burns going in.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe you should take it a little easy on the hot sauce.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you're 14. You play a video game and have a crush on some chick at school that doesn't like you? Do you have to sit there and mope about hot sauce? What's wrong with you? Are you depressed?
No.
Okay.
I get it.
Hold
so
on
this,
a second.
This is a Buffalo Wings thing. I thought someone was having, you know, these sensual times with, like, hot chocolate sauce on skin or something
right.
like that.
Right, Ryan. Come on.
Totally off.
What are you? Are you in the eighth grade?
Ninth grade.
What? Would you shut up, Drew? What grade are you in?
Eighth grade.
Yeah. Drew, shut up. Thank you, Brian. All right. Cheer up, would you, buddy?
All right.
It's not the end of the world, really.
God, it's so sad to hear these. I mean, we talk to so many, like, 14, 15-year-olds, just like...
It's rough.
Just imagine, Adam, if it had been your eye calling it at 15.
No, I wasn't that depressed. I wouldn't have acted depressed if I was on the radio.
All right, 20, a 20.
I still wouldn't have acted depressed. Do you know what I'm saying?
You wouldn't have been able to tell. Maybe he's just acting really serious. You know, he's trying to act like an adult, and adults act depressed.
Well, maybe that's it. Or not even that, but cool people act depressed.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a very dangerous message we send as a society, that you can only be cool if you're depressed, or you at least have to sound depressed in order to pull off cool. And furthermore, those guys get laid a lot more than upbeat, talkative guys.
That's because women, in order to give themselves license to feel a wide range of emotions, need an anchor of non-emotion.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Micah?
Mika.
Mika, you're 19.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
No.
They're the abusive ones, right? They belong in those abusive camps somewhere, enjoying time with other abusive males who are trying to enjoy life but are in a cycle of abuse.
Let's talk to Mika.
Mika?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
I'm calling about GHB. I heard you mention it earlier, how you were surprised of it to be addictive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've treated a number of cases of GHB addiction now.
It's
severe. It really is a mess.
It's extremely, extremely addictive. But I had a question about GHB. Like, I'm extremely bipolar. It gets to the point where the only time I sleep is when I sleep of exhaustion after an extreme manic episode. I can't go to sleep normally. And I've been treating myself as a bipolar with GHB. Like, it's the only thing that can help me.
Well, what do you mean?
You've been treating yourself?
Yeah, it's sedating myself.
Well, what do you mean you can't go to bed normally? I mean, would you stay up for days on end?
Days would be kind of exaggerating it, but I could go...
Hours?
Weeks, I could go weeks with only, like, 10 hours of sleep.
That seems like it would be days on end, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But it's not pure days without sleep. Like, I take little naps sometimes, but they don't last very long. But I wanted to discuss that. Was there anything I should be worried about with GHB?
Yes, GHB will make bipolarity worse. Absolutely. I've seen a lot of that.
So the thing to do really probably is go to a doctor, right, Drew?
Yeah. This is, you're obviously not being treated, right?
I've been to many doctors.
Yeah.
Well, but
they don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
That might be true, actually.
How long have you stayed with one person?
I don't know, like 2 or 3 months, the longest.
And what happens during that period of treatment?
They can't handle me. I went to one doctor who said, you need to go to someone else because I just can't. I'm not able to deal with this. And
all right, because that's not because you're bipolar. That's a personality problem, right?
No, it's the fact that they didn't. It wasn't personality. We actually got along really well. They just didn't understand what was going on.
And so they referred you to someone else. That's a sensible and realistic thing to do.
Yeah.
But why didn't you go?
I did.
And so what did that person do? All right, do they know you're using GHB?
No.
Okay, they'd be impossible to treat you. If you're doing anything besides the medication they're using, impossible to treat bipolarity. Impossible. So no wonder they were confused. They didn't have the facts.
The one did know.
All right. Look, stop wasting our time. What do you want? Pain in the ass. I just basically tell you what everyone else is dying to say but never says it when you're bugging them like you do. What do you want from us?
What do I need to worry about with this drug?
It's profoundly addictive. It causes mood instability. Even in those people who are not bipolar, it creates a hypomanic type state. and it can change your memory. And I've seen some personality changes, and it takes quite some time for them to get better. In fact, this has been a really hard condition to treat. I'd say almost every single one I've treated has gone back, and I've never seen them actually clear in terms of their affect instability and the personality changes we've seen.
Wow, maybe that's your fault, Drew.
Yeah, it must be. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Hey, Mika, go talk to an expert.
All right.
All right. Good time. Stop treating yourself. Jeez, what a pain in the ass she was. I think we got to take a break here, Drew.
All right.
Drew, am I right? Was she a pain in the ass?
Well, that's why I was trying to lead her down that path, that it really is a personality issue. They were telling her they couldn't handle her because she wouldn't cooperate.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So people always call the show, and they have a question, and then they just want to argue the answer.
Well, the other thing is she's not normal. You know, she has a condition, so you can't expect her to be exactly perfect. So
I know, you're right. You're right, but I believe that it would be condescending to treat them in any other way. I don't want to figure out who's sane and who's not sane and treat them differently. I treat the mental patients the same as I treat the geniuses. Right, Drew?
You kick everyone's ass.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a little break. Cake is our guest tonight. Drew, put Tim on hold when we come back.
I can't for my...
Oh, I'll do it. When we come back, we'll speak to 21-year-old Tim, who, let's see, what did he say? Did he have any part in his girlfriend's development of vaginal tumors? Drew, you sure you want to talk about vaginal tumors?
I think he means cervical cancer.
All right, after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline is brought to you by Trojan, America's number one condom, the most trusted for over 80 years.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Vince and John are both here from Cake. I think we should hear something else from Cake, but we'll talk to Tim first. Drew's in North Carolina tonight. Tim?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, sir.
So what'd you do to your girlfriend?
All right, we've been going out for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
For the first few years, we had constant sex every day.
Uh-huh.
Started complaining of stomach problems.
Right.
She just got checked out a few months ago, and she has cysts in her vagina.
And no, not in her vagina. She has them in her ovaries.
Ovaries.
And oh, who cares? That's ovaries, in her vagina.
It's in her vagina, though.
It's just down there.
And she's in real pain. And next month, she's going for surgery. And in the last few months, she's come with a skin disease, too. And
what's that?
They're calling it the love disease. It's all over her elbows or fingers or knees, and it's just spreading all over the place. And
why don't you tell me what it is? That psoriasis?
Yes.
Carpet burn.
She has psoriasis.
Yes.
And who told you that was the love disease?
Her doctor. That's
the love disease is psoriasis.
Maybe they were making jokes or whatnot.
You sure they didn't say the heartbreak disease?
That could be too.
Okay, maybe that was
not
it.
Not positive.
Vagina, ovary.
Yeah, it's the heartbreak of psoriasis.
That's right.
Yeah, why is that? Was that just from that shampoo commercial from the 70s?
Yep.
You guys call it the heartbreak from that Tegrin commercial?
Yep.
The heartbreak of psoriasis.
That's a good song title, actually.
You got to write that down. The heartbreak of psoriasis.
I know of no association, though, between ovarian cysts and psoriasis, however, so it's one of them things. She's got ovarian cysts and she's got psoriasis.
Hey, Tim?
Yes.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna make a guess though.
Junior college?
No, pre-med.
No,
no,
no.
Sir, no,
no.
Oh my God!
I do concrete work.
Shocking! Shocking!
All right, I'm not a dumb redneck.
What do? You
are concrete.
You do You do finishing work?
I do a little bit of everything.
All right. All right. What do you do mainly? Do you like commercial or residential stuff?
Residential.
You doing like driveways?
Driveways. Sidewalk.
Yeah.
Whatnot.
That's a good line.
What city are you calling from?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
You got your own bull float?
No.
Oh, boy. Come on, buddy.
I work for my buddy.
All right. Is he a pumper?
No, he's a hippie.
Oh, I meant like cement pumper. I didn't mean. All right there, buddy.
All right, so the deal is, am I causing this? Or
no, no, this is just her.
That's her eyes. She called it the love disease. Well, I can understand how that would go down in your head if he said the heartbreak of psoriasis. But Tim's hypothesis is that he's slowly killing his girlfriend with his penis.
That's his
most,
deal.
Most men feel that way, really.
Yeah.
Killing me softly with his schlong.
Amy? Amy, do you know the heartbreak of psoriasis?
No, I don't.
Mm. What's up there, baby?
What's up with me? Well, first of all, I've listened to your show since high school, so that's cool. Thanks. Basically, I'm big. I'm a 21-year-old virgin, for one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm planning to stay that way until marriage. And
you're fat.
True, please.
Oh no, I'm not. I promise. No, you'd probably like me very much.
Yeah.
oh dear. Yeah. So, I've had a boyfriend for about 2 months, and he has been sexually active, and anyways, him and I are not sleeping together, but we do other things, and he wants to bring me to orgasm, but and I want to go too, but I can't. Like, we get there, and he's very good at what he does, and and I had, you know,
what's he doing?
Oral sex, and yeah, and I get very, very close, and then I just like kind of freak out on him, like move or I don't know, and it's like frustrating.
That is that maneuver that only women can do.
Yeah,
right, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. Stop. Yeah, it's like you're right there, but you got to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys hate that.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't like that.
Sometimes we try to keep going, but then you get serious. And then there's a weird beat there, like silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had one. We've gotten really close. And
all right. Well, how about on your own?
See, I've never done that.
Well, why? Are you against that, too? Or?
Well, it just seems to me like it's kind of like tickling. Like, someone else tickles you, and that's good, but I don't see how tickling myself would work.
Interesting. No. Yeah. Are you a religious person?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you should tickle yourself.
No.
So would that be against your teachings?
No, I don't think so.
Well, then why not tickle yourself?
Because it doesn't, I don't.
Well, you don't like the idea of it,
yeah.
Right?
But I like the idea of being with him, but if I don't like the idea of touching myself, how's that going to feel good?
As you remember, Adam, the women have trouble sometimes sort of finding that spot without another person participating with them. And I don't mean spot mechanically. I mean that sort of spot in which their limbic system is engaged, where the sexual functioning goes forward.
Right.
And it needs an intimate experience in order for that to happen for some women.
Well,
and
how about if you relax yourself with a couple of wine coolers or something? Do you drink?
And maybe some assistive devices for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She should savor her orgasmic virginity. It sounds
that's
enjoying
a good point.
Just enjoying the suspense.
Yeah, how about having a glass of red wine, relaxing, putting on a little soft music and seeing if you can get out of your head a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't...
Yeah, well, what do you want us to say?
I know.
I mean, look, I really think you got to learn to tickle yourself a little bit. You could do that.
But what's the hurry, right?
Assistance from mechanics.
Yeah. Can he use a vibrator on you, or is that illegal, too?
I don't know. I don't... Okay.
Well, you know what? It's just... It strikes me that religion is like the governing body of like kart racing or NASCAR or something, where they lay down some rules, like the engine can only be this big, this much displacement, and the aerodynamics are such and such, and it's got to run on, you know, such and such a fuel, and then you just work on ways to beat it. Mm. Like, all right, those are the rules. But I still want to win the race, so what am I... Now, let's see about cheating those rules without technically cheating the rules. And this is what goes on with religion. It's like, she's religious, she wants to save her virginity, but her boyfriend's going down on her.
Right.
And so she's okay with that.
Sounds like she's having fun pursuing her personal liberties.
Yeah. All right, but you know, Vince brings up a good point, with which is why don't you save the orgasm too? I mean, if you're going to save the virginity for marriage, why don't you grab the orgasm and throw that in with the virginity?
Yeah, be a real virgin, you know.
Yeah,
well,
it's a good point.
I don't know if she's really saving it on principle. I think that it's just something that she's looking forward to, and she's enjoying the suspense of it not happening yet.
No, I think it's a religious principle.
Really? She's conflicted. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's conflicted.
All right, well, why don't we hear ourselves a cake song? Does that sound good to you guys?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, let's hear Short Skirt, Long Jacket.
Attack. She's playing with her jewelry. She's putting up her hair. She's touring the facility and picking up slack. I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
Beloved Cake, everybody. Drew is in North Carolina. We're out here in L.A. John and Vince are both here from Cake. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Hello there, Loveline fans. This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stick around for more right here on 100.5 The Zone.
Loveline, we're back. back with Cake. We have John and Vincent here from the band. Drew is in North Carolina. Jimmy is 23. Jimmy?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, just wanted to tell you, you know, I'm from Kirtland Air Force Base over here. 377 Security Forces Squadron.
Hoorah!
Get some shouts out to the boys. Anyhow.
Motivate.
My boss, Sergeant Aldridge.
What's that?
Sergeant Aldridge. My boss, Sergeant Aldridge.
Yeah.
Tech Sergeant. I'm born in his wife.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
All right.
No, please.
All right, buddy.
Listen, get out of here. How much more overtly bogus can a call be?
Yeah, I don't care.
Do they have instructions for that in the Joy of Cooking?
Yeah, exactly.
Dave?
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant either.
Well, that's deboning. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's boning. It's bone in. Dave, you're 22.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well,
it's pretty cryptic, this Vince, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
No, he doesn't.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. You don't even care.
Go ahead, Dave.
All right. I saw an ad in the back of a newspaper for, like, earn $600 a month as an anonymous sperm donor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all about making money for work I'm already doing. So I went and I tried out. And be honest, when I had done my deed, I was like, I hope that'll do. And, so they sent me an email back, and they were like, you're perfectly fertile and healthy and everything, but not enough of your sperm cells survived the freezing process. And I saw an ad for a product.
Now, does that mean you need a larger volume, or does that mean no matter what, the cells themselves are sensitive to this and they won't survive no matter how big a volume you give them?
See, I honestly don't know, but what they said...
Why don't you ask them?
I'll do that.
Okay.
But I saw this ad for like a product that increases your amount of ejaculate, and I know that Adam was talking the other day. He did looked into pills to increase your penis size the other day, and
right.
I don't know if Adam, if you heard about I saw a product Biogen 14. It said increase your
please
by like 400%.
Please,
really?
Please.
Well,
no way.
You've not tried it?
No way. Here's what you need to do: stop masturbating so goddamn much.
Yeah. How about giving it a break? Take a couple days off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See if you can make it a week. You'll be fine then.
Really? A week?
You'll be fine.
You know what I don't like about the week wait? I mean, hypothetically, because I've never done it. But I'm basically, I'm calling 3 days for me, a week for everyone else. it starts coming out, and you don't even notice it. I don't even feel, if I store up too much, I don't even get the sensation until about the second teaspoon. That's like, what's this wetness I feel on my forehead? And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm having an orgasm. I don't like that. That's no good, Drew.
Good times.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, aren't...
Yeah, bruh.
Yeah, bro?
Bro.
Drew, aren't sperm counts just generally down all over the world in the last 50 years or so?
I don't know that.
I read an article about it. So they're thinking that it might be because of endocrine disruptors.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you if also Dr. Drew, mm-hmm. if you don't if you don't have an orgasm, let's say you store it up for a week and your sperms they weren't hanging out with the right temperature, so they died, and so you have all these dead sperm in your testicles. Do you have to wait till you ejaculate to get rid of those dead sperm, or do they get absorbed back into your body somehow?
Some get absorbed. The stuff that's in your testicles doesn't stay there very long. It actually hangs out in your seminal vesicles, where it's combined with secretion from the prostate and stored in the seminal vesicles back actually near your rectum.
Speak for yourself.
So stuff doesn't stay in the testes.
Ah, okay. And then it goes through the rectum. If they die, they're not going to go through the seminal vesicles.
They just get absorbed.
I stored this guy's sperm in my rectum for a while. But my rectum's like a pawn shop, which is I'll keep it for a while, but if you don't come back to claim it, I'm going to sell it. And you're not going to get any deposit back or anything. Evo?
Yes. No refund either?
Nope. Nothing.
Greetings, gang. I'm sorry if I don't have any sexual idiosyncrasies to report this evening.
That's all right there, Evo. You're 24. Your question was about the creative process for Cake.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys. You know, I'm a fellow musician, too, and I seem to notice there, you know, something about your lyrical content on some songs. Sometimes they have like a historical content, like your Symphony in C or the one about bombing Korea every night. And I just wanted to know, because I was sometimes like to get into the creative process of other people. And do you sometimes come up with catchy choruses and build like a verse around it, or do you do it like vice versa?
Huh. This guy's like a crossover between like James Cagney and a Hesher.
Hesher?
Voice?
Where are you from, Evo?
Where am I from? Well, I'm living here in L.A. right now. Does that answer your question?
No, that had did not answer my question, to where are you living right now would have been the answer to that. Where are you from?
Well, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer.
All right, you jackass. I'm so tired of everybody. Where are you from? Well, I'm currently living in L.A., if that answers your question. No, that doesn't. Where are you from? Well, that's a hard question to answer. Really? Would Nicaragua or Philadelphia be such a hard answer? Do you know what I mean?
He might be running from the law or something like that.
You can still say where you're from, can't you?
No, not if you're really running from the law.
He had a unique sound to him and an interesting name to boot, and I was curious if he was...
It was like Bob Marley meets James Cagney.
I don't know. It was like a Latino thing.
He's from the Philippines.
No, I didn't. He looks back. What's your nationality?
If that answers anything.
Your nationality?
Yugoslavian.
Okay, right. There you go. That's okay. Cool.
There you go. Now it's all come together. Now we're hanging out.
So to answer your question, because he's really pissed off at you for some reason, but I'll just sneak this in. You just kind of have to carry a pad and paper around with you everywhere you go. And, if you're thinking about history, then you might write something down about history. If you're thinking about, gender relationships, you would write about that. But I just think you really have to be right about what you care about at the moment. And then it sounds more sincere.
For instance, tonight we came up with some themes, right?
Yeah.
One of them in particular, which one was it about an hour ago? There was a phrase.
Something about love, psoriasis.
The heartbreak of psoriasis. Yeah, that could be it. That could be a cake song. It might be a good title for an album. Cake, the heartbreak of psoriasis. All right.
I don't want to make fun of people who have a
It's heartbreak. There's heartbreak.
No, but we're being coyly ironic. So it's maybe not nice.
Coprophagia.
Right.
That's
that
a
down.
Good one. I'm afraid I don't know how to spell that one, sir.
Drew?
Yep.
How do you spell that?
Which? Psoriasis?
No, coprophagia.
Coprophagia. Coprophagia. No, PH.
You think one of our stoner listeners is going to send you some email correcting you?
Coprophagia, PHAGIA.
All right, there you go. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay, so I know there's nothing wrong with me. So what's up?
When I was like you, and I used to think that these date lines were totally cheesy.
Why can't I meet anybody?
But I tried everything else and thought, what the hell? So I called the date line and actually met a cool guy.
I called the date line and I hooked up with some cool people.
Believe it or not, other normal people are out there looking too.
877-889-DATE.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. You're listening to 100.5
The Zone. That's it, everybody.
Yahoo.
Yeah. Comfort Eagle is the name of the cake CD you guys should all go out and get if you don't currently have it. I want to thank John and Vincent for coming in here. Always a good time to see these guys. And
it's been too long.
Yeah, way too long.
Yeah,
thanks for having us. Come back anytime.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Drew, you come back tomorrow night?
Mañana.
All right. So we'll see you then. Hey, Drew, call me on my cell phone.
No.
Come on, buddy.
Dude.
Come on, buddy.
I've got to drive an hour and a half back to the hotel. I've got to get up at 6 a.m. for the Good Morning America. It's 3 here.
You're going to be sleeping in the car?
Yes.
We can't talk, buddy?
All right.
All right, now go to sleep. No, forget it. No,
I'm calling.
Forget it. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Corprophagus. Corprophagia.
Your time is up.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.